We're counting down the minutes till the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, who appeared at dusk in order to save his pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj gave many, many instructions within the context of the Leela to his friends, even instructed his father. Hiranyakashipu, the big demon, wanted to train Prahlad up in all the materialistic sciences, sent him to the best university to learn all about politics, friends and enemies, and how to make money in this world. But Prahlad, each time his father called him forth to tell him what was the best thing he learned, told him that the best thing was devotional service. And his father hated Krishna. He had killed his brother. And he became so angry with Prahlad that finally he wanted to kill him. In the meantime, Prahlad, in his school, took all his spare time to teach his class friends about Krishna consciousness. And we were just reading that one of the instructions that he gave to his class friends was just as a geologist can look anywhere and see where there's gold, whereas an ordinary eye cannot see where there's gold. So similarly, a person who's cultivated spiritual knowledge can look within the bodies of others and see the soul, and look within oneself and see the soul. And he taught them that this was the very basis of spiritual life, first and foremost to see that we're not the body. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehino smiñata dehe komaranyovaranjara tata dehantara pratir dhiras tatra namuyati, that as the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death, and that the self-realized soul, or the dhira, the person who self-realizes, is not disturbed by such a change. This foundational knowledge he gave, and Srila Prabhupada explains what cultivating knowledge means. He says, Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tatagaro tasyarte katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. That one must have implicit faith in both the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. And then he says that Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukihi Jivado Swayam Eva Spratida. That one begins spiritual life with the tongue, beginning with the tongue. When I was just in New Vrindavan, I gave a seminar called Yoga of the Tongue. There's every other kind of yoga, so I decided to start one called Yoga of the Tongue. Because according to our shastra, according to our scripture, the yoga actually begins with the tongue. And by controlling the tongue, by repeating the holy sounds with the tongue, by restricting the tongue to words that are pleasing, beneficial, not agitating to others, that are truthful, and regularly reciting the Vedas, one comes to the mode of goodness, just by the tongue. The tongue is like a rudder. You see a big ship, it's got a rudder. How big is it in comparison to the ship? Insignificant. How big is our tongue in comparison to the rest of the body, the legs, the arms, the head, and all put together? It's tiny. But Krishna says it all starts there with the tongue. If you can control that one organ, the tongue, and use it in Krishna's service for seva, then everything else will follow. If all the senses follow in a straight line, everything will follow that tongue. So it's yoga of the tongue. We can follow. And Prahlad was teaching such simple things to his classmates just about how to utilize one's life. He said that everyone gets 100 years if you're really lucky. I've seen a lot of people not make it to 100 years. Lots of people die when they're young and in mid-age. My parents made it to, my mother made it to 92. And that was about all, you know, she could do. 92, those 8 more years would be really tough. So making it to 100 years would be really difficult. But Prahlad Maharaj says that most people, even if you were given a full 100 years, which you're usually not, most people waste about half of that by sleeping. If you have 24 hours a day and you sleep 12 hours a day, that's a lot of sleeping. So he says, then you have 50% left. And then he said, you waste the first part of your life as a little child in playing. Well, as a baby, as an infant, you're simply helpless. And then in playing, without any kind of inquiry into the absolute truth, you waste another section of your life. And then in adolescence, everyone knows, everyone becomes awestruck with the opposite sex and becomes absorbed in that and wastes another few years. And then they get married, then comes the work. And where's the time left after all that? If you use up all that time for babyhood, for childhood, for adolescence, and then for working hard. And then he says, well, some people say, when I get old, then I'll take the spiritual life. But it's very difficult when one gets old, especially if you haven't practiced throughout life. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yoga balena chaiva. One has to have the strength of yoga throughout one's lifetime in order to perfectly practice at the end. So Prahlad Maharaj says to his class friends, he's 5 years old, he's preaching to young people, and he says, Komara acharat pragno dharmam bhagavataniha. Durlabham manasan janma tadapya dhruvam artadam. That use your whole life starting with when you're 5 years old. He's 5 years old, he's preaching to the 5 years old, 5 year olds, and he said, start here at 5 year old and start practicing Krishna consciousness. When did Prahlad Maharaj start hearing Krishna katha? He started really early. And all children can do this also. It's mentioned in this Srimad Bhagavatam. We're just reading that the child in the womb can hear, can actually hear Krishna katha. The Hari katha is going on because the soul hears. And Narada Muni had saved the mother of Prahlad Maharaj from being kidnapped by Indra and all of his posse. And they had come because Hiranyakashipu had left his palace behind and had gone up into the mountains to practice more austerities. And during that time, Indra realized that the wife of Hiranyakashipu was pregnant, and he thought there was a really big demon that's going to be born. And therefore, he came and he smashed the palace, everything in it he broke, and then he stole away Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and was running off with her, intending to hold her until the child was born so that they could confiscate the child. And Narada Muni, who happened to have no engagement at the time, came by and he checked Indra and his followers and said, don't take this woman, because actually she's carrying a great devotee in her womb. And Indra accepted it. So Prabhupada mentioned this is the system parampara, because Narada is a self-realized, knowledgeable person. He knows what is what. When Indra heard that there's a self-realized person within the womb, he accepted it. And he gave up the possession of Kayadu to Narada. And Narada took this young woman to his ashram, and in the ashram, he took care of her. And during that time, he was constantly teaching about the spiritual science. And not only was Kayadu listening, but not as carefully as Prahlad, who was within the womb. Because Kayadu, as a mother, was very much concerned with taking care of her child and making sure that she was healthy and taking care. Whereas Prahlad was giving undivided attention even within the womb. So when Prahlad came to the school of Shanda and Amarka and he began teaching the spiritual science, everyone wanted to know, including his class friends, where did you learn this, Prahlad? Because you've never been to school anywhere else except with us. And the teachers were dumbfounded because every time they'd take Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu would say, what did you learn? Prahlad would say things like, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, all the 9 processes of pure devotional service, of direct devotional service. And Hiranyakashipu thought, what are you teaching my son in your school? And the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, would say, that didn't come from us. We're not teaching anything like this. We taught just what you said. Teach them all about politics. And so when Prahlad began speaking to his class friends, he His class friends asked him, where did you learn this? Where did you find this out? And he told them the story about how his mother had been kidnapped and how his spiritual master had given him special mercy. So much of the pastime of Lord Nrsimhadev is taken up with the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and the life of Prahlad Maharaj, which is the compelling fact for Lord Nrsimhadev to appear in the world. He appears because of Prahlad. And when he appears at dusk, we went over some of the contract earlier that Hiranyakashipu had hammered out with Lord Brahma. He had performed austerities for thousands of years, standing on his tiptoes with his hands raised into the air. Can anyone try that? Just for a few minutes, what to speak of thousands of years. This kind of austerity, no eating, no drinking. Sometimes people think, oh, this is, he must be very advanced spiritually because he can withstand this kind of austerity, not drinking, not eating. But what was in his heart? He actually wanted to dominate the universe. He wanted to be the most powerful. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold. Kashipu means soft bed. Grant me this boon that I'll never drop dead. Never drop dead. That's what I said. And that's just what he said to Lord Brahma. When he came down by the request of the demigods, who saw that he was getting such power from performing the austerities that he had to appease him. And Hiranyakashipu asked for what? He said, I don't want to be killed. I want to live forever so I can enjoy. So he, knowing that Brahma couldn't just flat out give him immortality, Brahma said, I don't have it. How can I give to you? So he tried to work his way around it, tried to beat the system. And he said, I don't want to die in the day or in the night. Or on the land or in the air. I don't want to die inside or outside. I don't want to die by any weapon. I don't want to be killed by anything living or dead. That sounds pretty airtight, doesn't it? No animal, no man. And what else? You had another one?
No demigod.
No demigod? He's our attorney, so I'm just checking.
Inside or outside of the building?
Land or sea? Air in the water? Sea, air, water? And night or day? So, Krishna is so tricky. When he appeared, he kept intact every single one of the benedictions that Lord Brahma gave, because he killed him not inside and not outside, but just at the threshold, at the door, in the doorway. So you can't say that's inside or outside. And he wasn't on the land and he wasn't in the air, because he was on the lap of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wasn't killed with anything living or dead, because he was killed with the nails. They're kind of living, dead, neither, either one. And day or night, dusk. Attorney?
Animal man.
It's a creature, animal man, combined together. So when the demigods saw the Lord Nrsimhadev appear, they had never seen a form like this before. In fact, even Lakshmiji could barely recognize her husband, because he was really angry. She had never seen him in this mood before, how angry he was. How angry was he? When he was roaring, then described how elephants all over the world were running in fear from hearing this roaring of Lord Nrsimhadev. It was a piercing sound. Actually, when a lion roars, there's a very low-pitched noise that frightens other living entities. You could barely hear it on the lower end of the spectrum, but it gets you right in the solar plexus. It's very scary, actually, for the lion roar. And his roaring was tumultuous. It was going on continually. He was so angry. All the demigods came forward and they offered prayers. And Prahlad describes how these demigods were perfectly situated in the mode of goodness. They knew perfect Sanskrit, and they were offering one prayer after another, trying to appease this appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, appease and cool his anger. But he wasn't appeased at all. And finally, they decided that we'll push Prahlad forward, because after all, he's come for Prahlad. And Prahlad was just a five-year-old boy, and they urged him to go forward to offer prayers. And Prahlad said, all these demigods have offered streams of excellent words, and they know perfect Sanskrit, and they're in the mode of goodness. Well, what can I say? I'm born in a demon family, and I'm just a little boy. I don't know any Sanskrit. How can I offer prayers? And then he remembered Gajendra. He says that Gajendra had offered prayers, even though he was an elephant, when he was in a distressed condition of life. The king of elephants had offered prayers, and the Lord accepted them and saved Gajendra. Then Prahlad thought, if with sincerity anyone offers prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a sincere heart, then he'll accept it. So then he began to offer his prayers. And one of the first prayers that he offered to the Lord was that when someone decorates their face and they see the reflection in the mirror of their face, both the reflection is decorated and their face is decorated. So he said, when someone offers something to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not for the benefit of Krishna. Krishna is complete in himself. He doesn't need anything. But when someone offers something to Krishna, then it's for the benefit of the person who offers. And when one offers prayers, when one offers anything to Krishna, that person becomes decorated and glorified, because we're part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we're part and parcel. And therefore, when we give to Krishna, then we gain. We actually become fortified and satisfied. Just like when the hand takes food and puts it in the mouth and it goes to the stomach, then the stomach automatically distributes it to the rest of the body and the hand becomes fed. One time, however, in history, the senses went on strike. They decided that we're working hard all day long. We get the food ready, we put it in the mouth, and the mouth and stomach are simply enjoying, and we do all the work. And we're not going to do this anymore. We're going on strike. So they stopped working, they stopped collecting the food, and they stopped cooking it, and they stopped feeding it to the stomach. And it wasn't but 3 days later that they began to feel shaky and weak. And all the senses came back together, and they decided, let's go back to work. And as soon as they fed the mouth and the stomach, they felt satisfaction again. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says, bhakti parishanu bhavu virakti anyata traisha trika ekakala prapadyamanasya yathasadhastush tushti pushti shuddha payonugasam, that when one surrenders to Krishna, when one gives himself, herself to Krishna, then automatically the three things, you get bhakti, you get direct perception of the Lord for yourself, and you get virakti, or detachment from all other things. Just the way when you eat food, in the same way as when you eat food, you get nourishment, satisfaction, and your hunger goes away automatically, simultaneously, like magic. So Prahlad Maharaj said, service to the Supreme Personality of God, it is just like that. When you serve Krishna, you become fortified, you become full, you become happy. So this is the great secret of life taught to us by Prahlad Maharaj, the spotless, peerless devotee who had no desire in his heart. After Lord Nrsingadev had appeared, he's Bhagavan, he has everything, he can offer anything to anyone at any time. And he told Prahlad, I'm Bhagavan, I've appeared, please take a benediction. And Prahlad said, no, thank you. I've not called you here because I'm not here to serve you. I'm not serving you because I want something from you. I'm not a vanik. I'm not a merchant. I've served you just because that's what I do. I serve you. I'm your eternal servant. And Nrisimha Bhagavan said, no, I'm Bhagavan. Take something. Again, he asked. Several times he asked him, you take a benediction. So what did Prahlad ask for? Finally, he asked the persecutor, his own persecutor, his father, who had tried to kill him in so many ways. He gave him a poisoned cake, but Prahlad offered it first, and therefore the poison was neutralized. And he tried to kill him by having a snake bite him. But the devotee of the Lord is like a great yogi. In fact, this is mentioned by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the pure Vaishnava actually attains all the different mystic siddhis. One of them is being impervious to poison. Can't poison a pure devotee. So he tried to poison. He tried to throw him off a cliff. He put him under the feet of elephants. And every time, Krishna protected him. Krishna saved him. And Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, yoga kshema mahamyaham, I carry to my devotee whatever he lacks. I preserve what he has. And he says, Sri pram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nagachati kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakti pranashati. That my devotee who's dedicated his life to me quickly becomes righteous, attains lasting peace, he said, and I'm always protecting that devotee. He says, declare it boldly that my devotee will never be vanquished. So Hiranyakashipu had performed so many austerities and became powerful, and he was very powerful, so much so that all the demigods in the universe were coming and reporting to him. They were under his control. This is how powerful he became by austerity. But then he saw his little 5-year-old son could not be controlled by him, couldn't be killed even. So Prahlad, the pure devotee, Hiranyakashipu, wanted to kill him, and he asked Prahlad, finally, he wanted to kill him with his own hand. He said, your God is protecting you, where is he? And Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Wherever I look, I see him. And Hiranyakashipu said, then is he in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj said, of course, he's within the pillar also. And from within the pillar came a deafening sound, the roar of the Supreme Personality of God in his form of Lord Nrisimhadev. And Hiranyakashipu attacked that pillar, and bursting from the pillar was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Brahma Samhita, Brahma says, Ekopyasora charitum jagadandakotim kutishvashesha vasudari vibhuti binam tad brahma nishkalamanantam ashesha bhutam govindamari purushamdam ahambhajami. That Krishna is within every atom. He's everywhere. Simultaneously, at all times, he's all-pervading within everything, and he's also maintains his personal form. Tadejati, tanayjati, tadure, tadvantike, tarantarasya, sarvasya, taru sarvasya sibayataha. The Lord is far away, but he's very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. So there's nowhere that he isn't. And Prahlad could see this because of his devotional service. Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvadaha. That's the third verse that Prabhupada gave in the purport about cultivating devotional service. That if you perform bhakti for Krishna, then you can enter into the mystery of his understanding him. And so Prahlad saw him. Then the Supreme Personality of God had appeared from the pillar as Lord Nrisimhadev, and he fought with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had great armies. He was also very powerful himself, and the Lord battled with Hiranyakashipu. And this battle went on for some time, much to the dislike of the demigods. They were hoping that he would be finished immediately. But anybody here have a cat? No cats? No cat people? Cats, when they catch a rat or a mouse, they don't kill it right away. Sometimes they'll play around with it for a half an hour. They bat it around and they'll sit there, and then the rat will take off and he'd come after it again and grab it and bring it back. They have that propensity. So Lord Nrsingadev was like that also, because he was half cat. And he was playing with Hiranyakashipu. But the demigods thought this could be a disaster. Actually, maybe he won't vanquish him. Maybe he'll get free. And at one point, Lord Nrsingadev had him in his clutches, and Hiranyakashipu got free. And the demigods had been watching from behind the clouds, and they were thinking, oh no, now our doom has come, because he's seen that we're rooting against him, and now he's going to get free and he's going to win, and then we're really going to get it afterwards. Now, why did he let him free? Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes we see in this world that someone who's not godly, someone who's dedicated to all kinds of sinful activities, they may look prosperous and happy, whereas the devotee may be suffering in many ways, not have money, and very hard existence. So someone might say, what good is your devotional service? Look, why don't you join the ranks of the atheists and become happy like me? But just after releasing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev grabbed him again, put him on his lap, and tore him to pieces. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes when we might see that a materialistic person sometimes has a respite, or it seems that they're having a good time of it in this world, but actually it's only the play of the Supreme Personality of God in an eternal time. Soon he'll be grabbed and vanquished. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I come as death and I take away everything. So this wonderful manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrsingadev, finally grabbed Hiranyakashipu, put him on his lap, which was neither the land nor the sky, and he tore open his chest with his nails. And then he pulled out his entrails and he wrapped them around like a garland, a gruesome sight. And Prahlad Maharaj was standing nearby, and he was worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada says, what kind of scene is this? That your father is being killed? And Prabhupada said, and then Prahlad is sitting there saying, good boy, very good boy, that you've done good, you've killed my father. Because the devotee understands that whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead does is all good. If he kills, then there's benefit for the person who is killed. Even as he killed Putana, when Krishna was just a little baby, Putana was the first demon that Kamsa sent to come and kill him, and she smeared her best with deadly poison, made herself very beautiful, came into the assembly, was allowed to pick up baby Krishna, put her nipple into his mouth, and he sucked out the poison, he sucked out the milk, he sucked out her life airs, and she was screaming, leave me, leave me. And he held on so tight that she couldn't get him off. She reassumed her gigantic form, 8 miles long, and she crashed to the ground, smashing all of Kamsa's groves and not touching anything else. And there was baby Krishna playing on the chest of Putana, unharmed. But Putana received the great benediction of becoming like one of Krishna's mothers in the spiritual world, because Krishna takes what the best thing is and he leaves behind all the bad things. So when he looked at Putana, he said, I'll know she's trying to kill me. At least she came as a mother. So I'll accept that part. And the killing part, we'll leave it behind. That's how Krishna is all good. And therefore, Uddhava says, who would surrender to anyone else except for Lord Krishna, because he's so kind, he's so merciful, that even a great demoness came to kill him and he gave her the highest benediction. So when Hiranyakashipu was killed also, he attained liberation. And we know also from the story, which started way back in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this is the Leela, the play of the Supreme, that it all started at the gates of Vaikuntha. Because there at the gates of Vaikuntha, the four Kumaras were trying to enter into Vaikuntha, and they could wander freely anywhere within the universe. They were completely liberated souls. They looked like little children, walking completely naked, no attachment in any direction. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Just completely unattached. So they came into Vaikuntha, making no distinctions, but then at the doorway, Jayan Vijay checked them and said, "Can't come in." And they thought, who are these people making a distinction between friends and enemies and saying that I cannot come in this place? And when they became angry, they cursed Jayan Vijay that they would fall down from their position and come to the material world. Lord Vishnu gave them this benediction that they could come to the material world as his enemies for 3 births. There was some other option that they could come for 7 births as his devotees. But they wanted to quickly come back to their service, so they took 3 births as a demon, as demons. And in 3 successive lifetimes, they took birth as Krishna's enemies. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna, he, just like anyone else, sometimes he likes to fight out of play. This is called virya-rasa, that he likes to show his power in fighting. Sometimes in Krishna in Vrindavan, before he fights a great demon, he tightens his belt and he slaps his arms like a wrestler. And then when he fought with Kaliya, he wandered off by himself and he went to that Kaliya lake that was all poisoned, and he got up on a tree, he slapped his arms, and then he jumped in the water. And although he was tiny, it felt like there was a tsunami in that lake, because Krishna can be the heaviest of the heaviest, or the lightest of the light. So Krishna Lord Narayan allowed them to come in 3 successive births to fight with him in his Leela. And in the first time they appeared, Jayan Vijay, in this material world, they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And who killed Hiranyaksha? Varahadev. And how did he kill him? Nonchalant. He killed him with his hoof. They fought for a while, and it looked like a pretty serious fight, but finally he just slapped him with his hoof, his lotus hoof. He slapped him behind the ear, and boom. It's a kind of, if Rukura was here, we'd ask him if that is a jujitsu move. Are you here? Rukura's here? Okay, we can ask him later. Anyway, he killed Hiranyaka, and then Hiranyakashipu was left behind with the family, to the bereaved family of Hiranyaka. And he sat them down and gave instructions. Now, this is the interesting part of the Leela, because he was actually a demon, but he began instructing his family members not to lament. Why? He said, the living entities, eternal, and the body's temporary. He said, we all are moving around in life just like travelers. We go into a restaurant, and we all sit down and have a glass of root beer and lemonade together, and we talk, and we have a good time, and we exchange business cards and email addresses, and then we get up and we walk off in another direction and never to see each other again. And he said, that's just like our family life. I may think this is my mother, this is my father, that's my uncle, these are all my relatives, but actually these are just travelers along the road that we come together with for some time and then we go off in another direction. And he told him about how we should not lament in this world. And he told him about the king of the Ushinara province. And in Ushinara there was a great king, a valorous king, who in fighting the battle, one mighty battle, was slain in that battle. But as he fell to the ground with his limbs broken, his beautiful hair had become dusted with the dust from the ground, and in his death he bit his lip out of a sense of valor. And as the battlefield cleared, it was apparent that the king had fallen. And the wives of the king came from every direction, and they were weeping. And they were holding on to the dead body of the king. This is what Krishna describes to be the mentality of a cow or an ass. We heard this verse earlier. You know the verse? Yeah. Yasyatna buddhi kuna petridakute swadhi kalatradishu bhoma ijati yatirta buddhi salilena karichit janeshu abhigeshu saeva gokara. Krishna told this to Uddhava, that a person who thinks that the body made of three elements, which is kapapita vayu, it's a bag, it's made of elements, these material elements, if you think that's yourself, then you're like a cow or an ass. Now, why does he say like a cow or an ass? Because sometimes when a cow gives birth to a calf, and the calf dies, and then the cowherder brings the calf, because the mother will only give milk when the calf is there out of affection, and sometimes the dead calf is there, so then the mother will lick the dead calf and give milk, thinking that it's alive. Even the dead body is there. So someone might think that this body is me. It's all important. But it's not. So on this battlefield, the king had fallen. He had bitten his lip. And all of the queens, thinking that he was his body, were holding on to him, actually beyond the time when the ritual was to take place to cremate the body so that the soul would not hover and would move on. And they were weeping, and the sound of their weeping was heard by Yamaraj himself. And Yamaraj came to that battlefield in the form of a little boy, and he stood there, and he was observing all these queens crying over their husband's death. And then he said, "Why are you all crying?" And they said, "Little boy, our husband has died. He's lying here on the battlefield." And he said, "Dead? You say dead, but he's still there. I see him right there. Why are you crying?" And they said, "No, you don't understand. He's dead. He's gone. He's left us." And he said, "No, no, he's right there. Look, same eyes, same mouth, same legs. All it's there." And they said, "No, little boy, you don't understand." And they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Yamaraj. I've come here to instruct you in what you don't know. And that is that you're not your body. You're actually the soul within the body." And then he told his family members the story of some birds who lived in the forest. And one day, a cruel hunter came into the forest looking to kill the birds. And these two birds were living happily in the forest, and they were raising some baby birds in a nest. And you know, springtime, you can see this now. The birds are starting to come out. They're looking for places to put their nest and mate. And they get all excited about it. And so were these birds. They had a little nest, and the babies were coming up. And they were feeding the babies, flying back and forth. I saw this in New Delhi when I was staying at the temple. Just out on the balcony, there was an air conditioner. And right under the air conditioner, two doves had built a nest. And I watched them for hours. They would dive off the balcony and go down three stories. They would pick up a piece of straw and they would come back. And they would build the nest in that way, one piece at a time. Just like going to Home Depot. We build our little nest, and back and forth I go, very busy building the nest. So same, these little baby birds were doing that. Everyone can please move up by 4.3 inches. And you can go that way too. So just as they were in the forest getting food for their little babies, the hunter came and he threw a net over the baby birds. And the mother and the father came, and they saw this horrible sight. that no parent wants to see, captured by the net were their children. And the mother bird flew into the net herself to save her babies, and there she was captured. And the male bird stood crying, tears, lamenting over his babies and the bird. And the hunter stood from behind a bush. He aimed his sharp arrow, and he pierced the body of the male bird who dropped dead. All this Hiranyakashipu was teaching to his family members about the death of Hiranyaka. And he was telling them, do not be sentimental for the body and for the offspring from this body, because it's only temporary. We're only passing through in this place. He was actually a great devotee from Vaikuntha, but he was playing in this role. So this giant Vijay, they went through three lives. The next life, they came as Ravana Kumbhakarna. And in their last, they came as Shishupal and Dantravakra. That was their last stop. Because in that stop, they got liberation by Krishna. When Krishna kills somebody personally, then they get complete liberation, go back home, back to God. And when other incarnations of Krishna killed, not necessarily liberated, but Krishna, liberation. Then they went back to their posts. So Hiranyakashipu was actually a great devotee, but he was playing the role of a demon simply to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by fighting with him. And we can learn much from this story about Prahlad Maharaj and his teachings. One of the greatest teachings of all time that everyone can take with them wherever they go, that Prahlad Maharaj told to his classmates, was that there is no enemy within this world except for the uncontrolled mind and senses. Everyone thinks if the Republicans would just get back in control, if taxes were just a little bit lower, if I could just, you know, my knees would be healthier than they are now. There's always something that's holding us back from unrestricted happiness in this world. But Prahlad Maharaj says, our only enemy is the uncontrolled mind and senses in this world. And therefore he advocated that all of his classmates spend their time 24 hours a day, even from the time when they're very, very young, in practicing Krishna consciousness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangasya Parshadam Jagnai Sankadana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha, that in the age of Kali Yuga, Krishna, although he's called Tri Yuga means he only comes in three yugas, right? So what about Kali Yuga? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to know this. He asked Gopinath Acharya, he said, but Krishna, how could this be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Lord Chaitanya, he only appears in three yugas. It's Kali Yuga. He doesn't come in Kali Yuga. And Gopinath said, oh, you don't know anything. He comes in Kali Yuga as a covered incarnation. He appears as a devotee. He's not blackish like Krishna. He's Akrishna. He's golden. So in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in the Kali Yuga, he came 500 years ago to teach the process of devotional service, we also find the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev in those pastimes. Once, when at Srivas Thakur's house, the great devotee, Srivas Thakur was reciting Vishnu Sahasranam. Do you all know the Vishnu Sahasranam? You all know it? You do. So in the Vishnu Sahasranam, yes, yes, smarana matrena janma samsara bartana vimuchite namastasmai vishnave papa vishnave namaha samasta bhutana mari bhutaya bhubrite aneka rupa rupaya vishnave prava vishnave om vishnam vishnavishatkaro bhuta bhavya bhava prabhu bhuta britpura bhutbhavu bhutatma bhuta bhavanaha. So on he was chanting, and then when he came to the name of Lord Nrsingadev in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that name of Lord Nrisingadev, and he assumed the form of Lord Nrisingadev, the mood of Lord Nrisingadev, and he ran out into the city of Navadvip. I'm going to kill the atheists. And Srivas Thakur ran after him, seeing this scene. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his normal mood, and he said to Srivas, I think I've made a great offense. Because it is an offense to disturb other living entities, to scare them. And Srivas Thakur said, no. Actually, you've scared them in the best way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, actually, that there are four reasons that people approach God. The first is fear. The second is prospect, that I'm going to get something. I'll get something back from him. The third is duty. We see that in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the maryada, mood, that everything should be done because it's our duty. And the highest motivation is love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also appeared in the pastimes. We're getting ready for the Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappearance coming up at the end of June. And you might know that in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, there's a description of how Lord Nrisingadev, after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he stopped in Navadvip. Because Navadvip Dham is actually non-different from Vrindavan. This is a holy place that's always existing. The nine islands of Navadvip represent the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Devayat. And the Lord stopped there on his way back to Vaikuntha. And there's a worshipable place there in Mayapur. Srivas Thakur was just there. Srivas Pandit was just there. And, well, Srivas Thakur was there too. And there, Nrisingapalli. There's a deity of Lord Nrisingadev that's worshipped there. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was responsible for finding the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some people had picked some place arbitrarily and they were using it to make money. Because, you know, people were coming from all over Bengal to worship the supposed birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. But that was not the place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did much research through looking at maps, through looking through many shastras, and then talking to local sadhus. He found this place, which is now where the beautiful temple at the Yoga Pit in Mayapur is, which is the actual appearance of place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were tulsis growing everywhere there, not like any other place. So he found that place, and partly he writes in his notes, in discovering the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that every morning around 4:30 a.m., and what time is that? Time for Mangal Arti. He could see from his vantage point in his home a cloud of dust coming from Nrisingapalli all the way to the Yoga Pit, which then was just a forest of tulsis, tulsi plants. And after meditating and praying for several days and watching this phenomena every day appear before him, he realized this was Lord Nrisingadev coming from Mangal Arti at the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that birthplace where he appeared. To confirm that, he brought his spiritual master, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was an invalid. He couldn't walk, but he was carried in a basket. And when he got to that place, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to dance in that place. Also, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first started the Sankirtan, and he asked all the bhaktas to go out on the street and take these drums, this coal, out on the street. This is an instrument from the spiritual world, and to play this coal and to chant on the street and sing the holy names of the Lord. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bol! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Jaya Nishingarev, 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 Jaya Nishingarev. Jaya Narahari, 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 Jaya Narahari. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai Hey Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai. Govinda Jai Jai Gopala Jai Jai. Hey Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jai. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hey Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bajare. Baja Govinda Gopala Hare. Baja Re. Hey, Baja Govinda Gopala Hare. Bajare, hey, Baja Govinda Gopala Hare. One more time, come on now. Bajare, hey, Baja Govinda Gopala Hare. Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Bajare, hey, Baja Govinda, Gopala Hare. Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Gopala, Radhe Gopala, Radhe Gopala. Radha Bhakti Bihari. Radha Shama Sundar.
Radha Gopinatha.
Radha Gopinatha.
Kishore Kishori.
Kishore Kishori.
Radha Domadaram. Radha Manmohan.
Radha Manmohan.
Radha Madan Mohan.
Radha Madan Mohan.
Radha Krishna Radhe.
Radha Krishna Radhe.
Radha Gopinatha. Radha Gopinatha.
Radha Ras Bihari.
Radha Ras Bihari.
Kunj Bihari. Radha Gopinatha.
Radha Gopinatha.
Sri Bhakti Bihari. Radha Kala Chanji.
Radha Nirinda Chanda.
Radha Rana Chora.
Radha Sham Sundar.
Girivar Dhari.
Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Radha Ramana. Radha Partha Sarthi.
Radha Partha Sarthi.
Radha Kunja Bihari.
Radha Kunja Bihari.
Radha Shama Sundar.
Radha Shama Sundar.
Radha
Giridhari.
Radhe Radhe.
Radha Radhanatha.
Radha Radhanatha.
Radha Madan Mohan.
Radha
Bajare. Hey, Bajare Govinda Gopala Hare. Bajare. Hey, Bajare Govinda Gopala Hare. Bajare. Hey, Bajare Govinda Gopala Hare. Come on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go pray, Manande. So as I was saying, they were on the street playing like that with the drums. And they were going up and down the streets of Navadvip, and no one had ever heard this kind of chanting before. So who complained? The Hindus. It was the Hindus. The Hindus complained. They said, this is not our religion. We don't go out in the street and chant like you're going to wake Bhagavan up. He's sleeping. This is too loud. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling him, go, go, everyone, every street corner, chant the name loud. And they called the police. And the police came. And they said, no more singing, no more. And they took one of these sacred drums. This is the favorite instrument of Lord Nrsimhadeva. And they broke it. They broke that drum. And they said, no more Sankirtan. By the decree of the king, no more singing of Sankirtan in this city. So all the bhaktas went back to Lord Chaitanya Prabhu and said, we practically got arrested, the drums were broken. They said, no more Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya said, we'll have a mass march on the house of the Qazi. They all came together with torches from every direction. Where did they come from? No one could tell. They were coming from other planets, so many people would come. No one knew there were that many people in Navadvipa, and they weren't. They were coming from everywhere. There were so many torches and people dancing that you could not see the end of the crowd. And they all came together chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And they marched on the house of the Qazi, who hid in the back room. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went in with some of his associates, finally the Qazi came out and met him. And Mahaprabhu said, how is this any way to greet a guest hiding in the back of your room? And he said, well, you brought so thousands of people and they look very angry. And Mahaprabhu had a philosophical discussion with the king. And at one point, the king revealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu something very important and secret. He said, I have something very secret to tell you. And Mahaprabhu said, I have no secrets amongst my associates. You say anything in front of me, you can say in front of them. We're same. So he said, I have to show you that after I ordered that the drums be broken and the sankirtan be stopped, in the middle of the night I was dreaming. And a huge lion man came to me in the dream and began to tear at my chest and said, if you ever break another drum or try to stop the sankirtan movement ever again, I'll kill you. And the Qazi opened his shirt, and there were the scratch marks from Lord Nrsimhadev on his chest. Gaura Premanande! So all of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever, wherever they go, they have no fear because they know that Krishna is within and without, and Lord Nrsimhadev is there. He's the protector of his devotees. Everyone needs protection in this world, and everyone's seeking false protection in so many ways. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is our real protector. Samashrita ye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murari bhavam buddhir vatsa param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. This world is a place of danger at every step we take. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Murari. He's the killer of the great demons. He's the support of the entire universe. Just by taking shelter of his lotus feet, we'll actually attain perfection. So we've all gathered here tonight on the appearance day of Lord Nrsimhadev. It's just about the time. It's 8 o'clock. It's dusk time. It's hard to tell because it's cloudy outside. But this is just around the time that he appeared. So we can meditate on that appearance of the Lord. We can sing his names. We can sing prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev and take shelter of him. Some people, they're atheistic and they think, who is this God? Why should I pray? I should just work hard. But actually, this world's a very dangerous place. And we're kama dalajala jivana talamala. It's described by one Bengali poet that we're like a drop of water on a lotus leaf that can slip off at any minute. That's how our life is. It's that tenuous. So Lord Nrsimhadev has come to give us protection. He came for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So let us follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Take his advice. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can read it over and over again for your own benefit. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, said that you should read these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj at least 100 times. At least 100 times. You can read them over and over again and get new meaning each time. So we've been going out recently for a monthly Sankirtan festival, which the voice of ISV, Rakshit Jariwala Prabhu, will introduce the details of our festival as it was in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So we make an offering at this time. During festivals like this, you can offer fruits and flowers and things like that and incense, which is very nice. Krishna accepts these things when they're offered with love. But even more than that, he takes as the most important thing when we go out and try to give Krishna consciousness to others. Where does Krishna say this? That there's no servant more dear to me than the person who goes out to give others the message of Bhagavad Gita. Who knows? 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says this in his own words. Bhagavan comes and says that there's no servant in this world more dear to me than the person who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of the people of the world. Never will there ever be one more dear. So on these festival days, we as a community come together. We work very hard to bring an offering for the Lord that is his favorite. And that's just what we're going to do now. We're going to stand up and we're going to have an offering read out, the results of the of our monthly Sanctan Festival read by Rakshit Jariwala Prabhu, who has prepared a statement, an offering for the Lord. And we can stand all very quietly, listen to him read the offering. And then just after that, we're going to have an artik ceremony for the Lord with loud chanting and dancing. And then after that, there will be a huge prasadam feast served out for everybody in the whole city of San Jose. So we've prepared enough for everybody. So I don't know where everyone is. We've at least filled one room. We can get more people to come, fill up the parking lot, but that's our idea. Thank you very much for coming, everyone, to this auspicious occasion of the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev. And by the way, also, it's a very rare thing that we have this the honor of worshiping daily this deity of Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrsingadev. If you go to Andhra Pradesh, everywhere you go, you'll see Lakshmi Nrsingadev, right? But here in Palo Alto and San Jose and San Francisco, where can you see the beautiful form of Lakshmi Nrsingadev? Only here at ISV. And if you go all over America, you'll only find a few places where Lakshmi Nrsingadev are worshipped. And these deities are so special. These deities actually have gone to various places to protect the devotees. Some devotees were preaching in Tijuana, Mexico, and they were being harassed there, so they brought the Lakshmi Nrsingadev deities there, and they were protected. Soon they went to San Diego, and the devotees in San Diego asked if we would like to worship the Lakshmi Nrsingadev deities. So the devotees said, of course we would. But we didn't know when they were coming here, and the exact day and time they came is very interesting and important. Would you like to know when it was?
Yes.
It was 2001. On September 11th. Does that ring a bell to anybody? The kids don't know about that. They're too young. September 11th, 2001. 2001, September 11th. And they came here by car. Someone drove them up here. And they had no way of knowing attacks were going on, but Lord Nrsingadev knew. Everyone in America, everyone in the world was shocked. The way of life was changed, right? You were all around. You saw it, right? On the TV, everywhere else. And who appeared right at that time? Right when the buildings were being knocked down, airplanes were crashing here and there and everywhere, and everyone said the world was finished. At least security would get a lot tighter at the airport, that's for sure. And Lord Lakshmi Nrsingadev appeared right here at ISV at that time. So everyone who's anyone who knows anything anywhere comes here to ISV. If you want some special blessing, you come here to see Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrsingadev. If you want protection, come here to this little place. We're keeping this kind of secret here because we can only handle about 300 people in this room at a time. But the word's getting out and more people are coming to receive special blessings from this most rare and merciful deity. People are coming and bringing offerings, and gradually, we're building up a stock of funds, actually, to build Lord Nrsingadev and Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan a nice place to stay or find one that's already available. We've saved quite a bit of money, and the search is on. Daily, devotees are going out and looking at places so that we can have accommodate more room for people to come and see these beautiful deities and take their blessings. So thank you all for joining us on this most auspicious day with these most merciful deities. So we can put these asans in the back of the room to give room for everybody, and we'll stand up and have the offering by Rakshit Jariwala Prabhu. Thank you very much. Gaur Prem Anande Haribol.